sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. These passages these days have been about church, how we live as community together, how we do church together. Last week, the five verses just before this passage for today in the Gospel of Matthew dealt with conflict. Matthew 18, go to the person who hurts you, talk to them individually first. Then on those rare occasions where that doesn't lead to reconciliation, to the reconnection, to the regaining, to new understandings and often deeper relationships, then bring others from the community in Christian love. And then this line last week that I didn't touch much on, just because I focused more on that one-on-one, that first part. But after all the steps, Jesus says, if that one still cannot be regained, do you remember what Jesus said then? He said, if that one still can't be regained, he says, then treat them as one of the tax collectors or the Gentiles. And I think that launches us into this next, perhaps even more challenging passage about how we will live together and also in this wider world. Because how does Jesus actually treat tax collectors and Gentiles? I mean, at first it sounds like maybe this dismissive thing, you know, treat them as a tax, just dismiss them. They're no longer part of us. Jesus treats tax collectors and Gentiles as part of the community. So all that launches us into this passage today about forgiveness and how many times we should forgive. So this passage today begins with Peter asking Jesus, and I think it's as if he's trying to impress his friends, the crowd around him, to be the teacher's pet. Jesus, how many times should we forgive? Seven, right? Seven times. That was an impressive amount of times and a holy number at that. He thought that would maybe draw a gasp from the crowd, maybe even get a gold star from Jesus, which is always a good way to get into discussions about the heart and the soul of faith, you know, is by being focused on impressing others and getting the A+ star. Peter's looking to check a box, or maybe two boxes, or maybe 20 boxes. I'd say he wants to one and done forgiveness. How many times, Lord? Just tell me, what form do I fill out? Where do I sign? I'm ready, Jesus. But Jesus calls him, friends, and Jesus calls us too, in this passage for today, to see that forgiveness is not an item on a checklist or 77 items on a checklist, but rather it's a country. Forgiveness is a country that we're called to move to. Pack up from the old country and move to this new place. Jesus tells Peter not to keep score, but to immigrate to the land of forgivingness. That's what the 77 means. Seven refers to wholeness, so 77 is the wholest wholeness, a total state of total forgivingness, a new place to live completely. Build your life there, Jesus says. Move there, friends in Christ. We live in a tit-for-tat land where we check items off the lists, pay back and pay up to settle accounts. It is hard for us to accept undeserved kindnesses. It is really hard to accept that, whether that's physical gifts or compliments, or favors, or money. If someone gives me something, I want to pay it back, or pay it forward, or pay it off, and not feel like I owe anything to anyone. It's just programmed way down there in our Protestant, capitalist, dog-eat-dog, you-scratch-my-back, I'll-scratch-yours work ethic DNA. So it is really hard to hear this message today. It is really hard to pack up and move to a new land, or to even envision this new territory that Jesus and Paul and Joseph in the Old Testament are mapping for us today. This commonwealth of forgiveness. Can you even imagine it? Speaking of this Old Testament story, a great Old Testament story of reconciliation. It's no coincidence that we're looking at it here today with this gospel lesson. It starts out, these brothers are still not being honest with their long-lost brother Joseph. And they are trying to strategize and pull at the heartstrings now of Joseph and his father's wishes. They're still trying to manipulate and angle. Let's tell him, they say. Let's tell him dad would want this. That's how we can get what we need for survival. But Joseph, who definitely wasn't perfect either, has this moment of divine intervention. He weeps. There's no other way to describe it. God had to have gotten involved, because we're talking about decades of anger and hatred and competition and backstabbing. I'll remind you, those brothers are the ones who sold Joseph into slavery long ago. So how else could Joseph get to this new land of forgivingness with his brothers? God had to have picked Joseph up and put him on a trail, let's say, and set stars to guide him. I think those are the tears. And then Joseph enters into the country of forgivingness, the new land of 77. Joseph blazes the trail into this new territory. The brothers finally start to fess up in the story. They beg for their survival. Treat us as one of your slaves. But Joseph practically cuts them off and proclaims with tears in his eyes, I'm sure, have no fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. And that, by the way, made it possible for Joseph's brothers to get to the country of forgiveness too. All that resentment that they held also against him. The new trail had been blazed and they embraced one another. Do not fear, God has made this for good. And they weep together tears of joy. Someone's got to venture out there, cutting through the strangler vines and thistles of resentment and past grievances and downright evil sometimes. A lot of time for thick forests of anger to grow and swampy muck of resentment to just sit. I'm talking about the Joseph story here, but what are your thick forests of anger? What are your past grievances or the downright evil that has been committed against you? Nelson Mandela famously said that when we hold a grudge, it's like drinking poison, hoping it will kill our enemies. I think that's the torture that's referenced in the gospel parable. Jesus talks about those who don't let go, those who treat others after you've been forgiven and you don't turn and forgive others, they condemn themselves to live poisoned. But that's not what happens with Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, in all his own imperfection, thanks be to God, leads the expedition into new territory, the land, the commonwealth of forgivingness. Friends, we simply can't keep living in the swampy forest of anger and keeping tabs and holding on to debts. We must move also. God is picking you up today, setting you on a trail, giving you stars to guide the way. Maybe that's tears. The stars, maybe that's friends, or maybe it's something else, but we break camp today. We break down our old camp of payback and scorekeeping. We say goodbye to poisoning ourselves with holding grudges. We trust in God and we set out for the territory of 77, the land of wholeness, the new country of forgivingness. And fortunately, friends, the trail has actually been well maintained by all those imperfect saints who have gone before us, who are on it currently in loving their enemies, in praying for those who persecute them, in forgiving their debtors. It's a narrow trail, but it is well trodden. This is heaven come down to earth stuff today. Do you realize that? This is on earth as it is in heaven stuff today. That's what the country of forgivingness is. It's a territory that we can inhabit here and now. Not seven, like a checklist, but 77, like a country. Can you at least envision it? Especially as we start to get specific. Especially as we start to talk about tough issues like racial justice, and environmental justice, and gender justice. How does heaven come down to earth? Where is the embrace and the tears of joy and God making it all for good? As we talk across difference, as we talk about Democrats and Republicans and families around the dinner table, those seasons, those days, those holidays are coming up. As we talk about parents and teenagers at odds, as we talk about siblings still squabbling today and certainly worse, as we talk about neighbors who annoy us to say the least, and I'll say it again, this is really about being church. Matthew's writing to an early church trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And this is what it means. It means forgive each other. Forgive yourselves. Not once, not 20 times, not even 99 times, right? Toss the carefully logged, tracked, budgeted forgiveness records. No, let that go and move to a new country. Live there. How is the Holy Spirit helping you get to the new country of forgivingness? In the commonwealth of forgivingness, you don't have to hang on to the words that your friend or who you thought was your friend said about you. In 77, you can see over those trees. You can see her as a broken child of God, hurting and in need. And the father who is himself an abused abuser. In 77, compassion and prayer blankets the work of healing and reconciliation and peace. 77 is no oasis. The labor is long and daily in wholeness, but not without rest. It's hard work, but it's not without rest, and it's certainly not without prayer, and it's certainly not without community. And in 77, your mistakes are completely in God's loving hands. You don't have to carry them or trip over them. You can work without all that extra burden. The pain you've caused others, whether that's intentionally or unconsciously, that baggage is lifted from your shoulders. And that feels so good. That feels so good that you invite others to come into this new land also. The borders are wide open and there is plenty of room. And together you build sustainable housing for everyone to move to 77. You bake and harvest and sow and set long tables so that everyone can live in forgivingness. That's what Jesus is up to here. This way has been so generously offered to us. This new place to live. Now it's our turn to share and bring others here too. Paul says it like this to a community of his own that was struggling to immigrate to 77. We do not live to ourselves, Paul wrote, and we don't die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord, so that whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. The land called forgiveness. That's the picture we're painting. And it's not just a fantasy. It's heaven come to earth. But what if you just can't get there? What if you're stuck at the moment? Then hear this, friends in Christ. The welcome is always there. It is again today. The customs gates are always wide open, and anyone is free to enter forgiveness at any time. Many, many faithful ones are going. Many are there already. Many are struggling to get there, but the journey has already begun. But even if you stay behind, you still belong to the Lord. God's not just in forgiveness. God's got the whole world, right? Friends in Christ, you already reside in God's embrace this day and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The Evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.